You know, I know Pastor's not here, but Pastor does work hard, and, you know, he needs time off, just like, you know, we need time off. And he's really a man of God, and I actually look out to him. And just to say the least, you know, I just thank him and Miss Kathy for their faithful service. And I know there's a lot of people sick today. I was trying to convince Pastor we need to start selling holy water or something to get him well. But he strongly rebuked me and said, no, that's not the way to go. So there's nothing holy about the Midland water here anyway. So if you'll stand for a brief moment, I'm going to talk about the stroke of the clock. It is time. And again, we're in the book of Hosea, chapter 10, verse 12. It says, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up the fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, to win till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father God, I just want to thank you for being in your house. And Father God, the hour has come to feed your people, Father. And Father God, I just pray, Lord, that I just pray, God, that you may show up today, Father. And Father God, I just thank you for those that are here. I know we have a lot of people sick. And Father God, I just pray, Lord, that you heal them. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you bring them back. And Father God, I just want to thank you for your mercy, your grace for my family, for my church family. Father God, you've truly been good. And I just want to say thank you. Amen. I pray. Amen. So the stroke of the time. You know, it's time. The clock is ticking. I remember as we mark on another decade, I remember in the year 2000 when I was in the Marine Corps and everybody thought the banks was going to crash and all that. So I rushed to the ATM. Took out my $360 that I had, like the bank was gonna hurt for losing my money. So I took it out because I didn't want the bank to take the money, because you know, you heard about the year 2000 and you know, it's time to take your money out, it's time to prepare because it's the millennial, you know, the computers are gonna reset, everything's gonna happen. And I did just that and nothing happened. I went to Walmart, bought like two jugs of water. I was trying to still be conservative. I bought like two jugs of water. Bought some thing with some beanie weenies and some Vienna sausages and said, hey, if the world comes to an end, at least I got some money in my pocket or something, right? So the clock is ticking. It is time. It is time to, now, when you're, when men, you know, we actually talk about time and we talk about the year 2000 and we talk about how the world is now about to go to 2020. And how we are preparing for that, how some jobs have cut costs, some jobs are getting ready for the new year and for the new finances. As we get ready for new year, we make new year's resolutions to lose weight, to buy a new car, to get rich. You shouldn't be playing the lottery if you are, but we all try to say, this year, I'm going to change something. We all say that, but what about changing our souls? What about thinking about your soul? You know, there's a time for everything. There's a time to shop. There's a time to save. There's a time to do this. It is now time for you to seek God. Everybody else is preparing for other things. It's time to do this. It's time I clean up my attic. It's time I clean my garage. Maybe it's time for you to clean your soul. And hopefully this morning I can speak to you about it is time, and yes, the clock is ticking. Men, what should we say to somebody who's a farmer, whose land is fallow, but he doesn't plant his seed every year, or he doesn't sow? Yeah, it's as foolish as that is. What have we said to a man whose car's running out of gas because the gas light come on? It's time to put gas in. And he does not put gas in. What about your own soul? And we're going to get into that. in the very first hour of your responsibility, it is none too soon. Meaning it's never too late to start fixing your soul and serving God. It is time that you start doing it now, because as you look at the world today, the world is serving themselves. No one wants to serve God. It is time for you to get right with God and serve him. At the present, it is late, but not too late. Do it while you're still alive. You know how they say, there's an old saying, give me flowers while I'm alive. Don't wait till I'm dead to give me flowers. It is time that you give yourself and your soul the food that it needs, which is Jesus Christ. When shall you do it? When chastening comes, has come, to seek the Lord instantly is for a high time. Turn to John 5, the book of John, in chapter 5. And in verse 14, it says, afterwards, Jesus finding him in the temple and said unto him, behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest worse things come to you. Don't wait till something happens. Before a trial comes, you should seek him. It is time. Before you go through a hard time, seek him first. Before you start going through trouble, seek him first, so he will always be there when trouble comes. You want to seek him now because it is time. As time passes by, as the clock ticks, guess what's going to happen? One day, you're not going to be able to serve him if you haven't served him already. One day, you're not going to be able to do what you know is right. It's to serve God and to keep God. Do it now because it is time for us to stop playing games and stop playing church and really get serious about God and be about the Father's business. Amen? It is time. Before a trial comes. When chastening has come, seek the Lord instantly, for it is, again, high time. Before a trial come, so that you are near him. Sometimes we don't seek God until we are in trouble, until we lose our job, or, you know, until the bank account is in the negative, or, you know, until we lose a loved one. That's when we try to seek God. All you're doing is probably playing church. You need to seek God when you're good, so that you don't have to play church and everything will be well with you. But when you don't seek God and you put off, you reap what you sow. It's just like a guy who has a resume, but he done had 20 different jobs. No one wants to hire that person because of his track record, because he sowed a bad seed. If you get married prematurely to someone that you know is not a like faith, you're going to reap what you sow later on in life. When your kids are born and y'all are split between what God deserves. What God suggests and God commands us to do is to seek him first, because it is time. I remember 20 years ago, when the year 2000, as I said earlier, it was a time that the world was in panic. Nobody knew what to do. It was a new millennial. But then as 2000 came in, nothing happened. 2001 came in, nothing happened. 2010 came in, nothing happened. But keep in mind, Christians, that the clock is still ticking. It does not stop. So if you're not right with God and you got family members, maybe it's time to go share the gospel with them, because it is time. Maybe it's time for you to go share the gospel with that coworker. You know that's going to split hell wide open because they party every weekend, right? But we procrastinate and we try to reschedule things and we try to make things fit our schedule. How about letting God be your schedule and let him figure it out for you? Amen. In 1 Peter, in Isaiah 1:5, let me get there, I'm sorry. In Isaiah 1:5, it says, "Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye revolt more and more. The whole head is sick and the heart is faint." When you get in trouble with God, you want to seek him. Why should you be stricken? And maybe your Bible, it has Jehovah's case against Judah. It says, why should you be stricken? Why? Have you not sinned enough? Have you not sinned long enough? There's a lot of people this morning who are at home watching TV or got a hangover. And the question is, have they sinned long enough? Have you dishonored God long enough with your Christian walk in life? Maybe after you got saved, you went left or you went right or you went nowhere. Maybe it's time for you to start serving God and know that God exists and tell other people about God, pulling them out of the fire, so to speak, and worshiping God. So in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 3. And it says, "For the time past our life may suffice us that wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness, lust, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, and abominable idolatries." So, have we did all this? Is it not enough that we have walked in abomination? Is it enough that Christ suffered on the cross for us to keep sinning? Is it enough? Have you not sinned enough? May not the time pass suffice for us to have served the flesh? We serve the flesh every single day. Have you not had enough? It is time for you to come back and serve God in truth and in spirit. Thy word is truth, right? You've heard it said before, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. It is time to serve God. Don't put it off any longer. I know we have some people that procrastinate year after year, day after day, month after month. But if you procrastinate on this, it's going to get you later. When you assume great responsibilities, you should seek God in life. When you get married, you need to seek God, because being married to someone else, living with someone else for the first time, you're going to have issues, right? Somebody left the soap in the tub. Now the soap is small. It was big yesterday, now it's small, right? Somebody drank all the Kool-Aid or something, right? You get mad. Somebody left the dishes in the sink. You got to live with somebody. So before you get married, you want to seek God. In your marriage, if you get promoted on the job, seek God so that you can keep performing. It is time. You want to seek God in every aspect of your life. 1 Chronicles 22 and 19, you want to seek God in every stage of your life, in every stage. It is time to seek him, not just one stage, not just at church, but every stage. First Chronicles 22:19, it says, "Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God." Set your heart and your soul to seek your Lord your God. In your marriage life, as you've been a parent, as you've been a student, as you've been a child, seek God first. Everything else will come later. Everything else. But you must seek him. It is time, because the clock is still ticking, as I said before. That little dash on your tombstone is going to be there one day, and what you did with that little dash is going to matter for eternity. Every stage in life. When you assume great responsibilities, you're teaching a class, seek God. If you're on a bus route, seek God. Whatever you do in your life, seek God. Even if you're sweeping the floors of the church, seek God, because it is time. The pews are empty because some people don't want to seek God because it cramps their style. It doesn't fit in with their life. So they say, you know what? I'll do that later. I'll do that church stuff later. I can watch Joel Osteen on TV. Watch him, right? I'd rather not. When God's Spirit is specially at work, therefore others are saved. Acts 3 and chapter 19. When is the time to seek God? When? I'll tell you when. 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So it's calling you to repent. Repent means, hey, I admit it. I'm turning away from it. I'm doing nothing else but God. When you repent, you're admitting that you're at fault first. And a lot of people have that issue. They don't want to admit anything. They want to admit they're wrong. You want to repent first and then seek God. It starts with your heart. When God's Spirit is especially at work and therefore others are saved. How they're saved? Because they're repenting of their sins. It is time for us to realize that life on this earth is short. We're going into 2020. It's a new beginning for some people. People are being born. Someone did not wake up this morning. Be thankful that he woke you up this morning. Be thankful that you're sitting here this morning, because it could be a lot worse, because the clock will never stop ticking. When it is time. It is time to seek God when yourself feel the holy stirrings of your consciousness. Basically, when the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, it's time to act. And it's time. Some of you know when it's time, right? I'm giving an example. When a woman's water breaks, we know it's time for her to probably have the baby. The baby's coming soon. We know that. When someone is sick or they have a temperature above 103, 104, we know it's time to take them to the hospital. You know on Fridays, if you work every other Friday or you get paid every Friday, you know every other Friday it's time for you to get paid. There's a time for everything. But most importantly, it's really time, again, to seek God. Turn with me to Psalms 27 in verse 8. It says, when thou sayest, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, thy Lord, I will seek. You seek his face. How do you seek his face? How do you seek God? You pray out and you cry out to God. God, please show up in my life. God, please show up today. Please be in my life. You don't wait. You don't wait. When God's Spirit is at work, when you feel the Holy Spirit, that's when you show up. That's when God will show up. You seek God for now. You seek God forever. And don't ever forget that. Now, to seek the Lord, turn to Psalm 105, which is just a couple pages over, Psalm 105, and we're going to go into verse 4. And I know I'm moving around a lot. It says, seek the Lord and his strength, seek his face evermore. Seek his face. You seek his face in the morning. You seek his face in the noon, at night. Every problem you have, you want to go out and you want to seek God. You seek God at the altar. We spend so much time procrastinating with life. We actually give our job 70 plus hours a week, and we can't give God maybe 15 minutes of our time in the morning to thank him for waking us up, for thanking him for the job that we have, thanking him for the food that we have, thanking him for the finances that we have, thanking him for the house that we have. We don't want to seek God until trouble comes. And when trouble comes, we cry out because we don't know where else to go. It's time that you seek God, get on your face, and thank him for being the true living God that he is. Like I said, it's time. It's time to get angry about the things in this world. It's definitely time for that. All the stuff that's going on, all the gay marriage, the gay rights, all the abortions, it's time to get angry. We always want to look to somebody to our left, to our right to get angry, but what about yourself? We always want to look for somebody else to be in the fight, but what about yourself? Why procrastinate? There are babies that have died this morning because of lack of consciousness. And we should get angry about it. It's time to get angry as well. Christians are the minority of this world now. It used to be popular to be a Christian. No, it is not. There are more bars open up in Midland, Texas than anything else. There's bar after bar after bar after bar opening up. Even Chuck E. Cheese, I think, serves alcohol now. Imagine that. We should get angry about that. That's where your kids play at. Yet, they serve alcohol because they want to appease the flesh. They don't want to seek God. But their time is coming too. Their time is coming as well. You want to draw nigh to God, seeking him in worship and prayer. How many of you spend time in prayer before you come to church? Or are you listening to music before you come to church and not praying? How many of you seek God before you walk through the door so that your hearts can be prepared? But you won't do that, but you'll dress up and go to work with your uniform on, ready to clock in, but you won't do the same for God. Am I right? We need to learn to do the same for God. We answer our phone when the job calls, if you're on call. But do we answer the call when God calls us to the ministry? You know, when God called me to preach, I thought it was like, no, he didn't call me, because I'm not worthy. He couldn't have called me. He called somebody else. Maybe that's another Terry he called, but it wasn't me. And I neglected to answer. And I neglected to answer. And I neglected to answer. But as pastor counseled me, and I kept coming to him and coming to him and coming to him, he said, seek God and he'll give you the answer. And then I told pastor, it's time. It's time. I got to stop playing church. It's really time. If I'm going to please God, yeah, I can go work a secular job, because I am. But if I'm going to please God, I got to give up something. And you got to give up something this morning to seek God. Maybe it's those friends you got to give up to seek God. Maybe it's that music you listen to that you got to give up to seek God. But whatever it is, you better give it up, because the clock is still ticking. You might want to give it up before it's too late. You don't want to be shameful when God comes and finds you doing something that you should not be doing, right? No one wants to be that person. Kind of like when the light comes on, right? And everything is showed. You don't want to be that person. To obtain his blessings, to ask pardon at his hands through atonement of Jesus. Let's go to John chapter 1, verses 12. Through 13. All right. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. It says, but as many as received him, to them that gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. When you give your life to God, you're born of God. So Christians have two births. They have the fleshly birth and the spiritual birth. And the spiritual birth is much more for refreshing than the birth of a child. And what I mean by that is because when you're born into this world, you hear the term born to die. Born to die is a term because when you're born into this world, you have a birth date and you have a death date. And that death date is your fleshly flesh that dies. But your spiritual birth has no death date. It's eternity. Eternity with God. How is it going to be that I'm going to see my mom and some of my relatives that have passed on? I'm going to see them and I'm going to live forever because I'm a son of the Most High, meaning that we're all children of God. One day we're going to be what they call immortal, so to speak. And that's the day that I'm looking forward to. Because as time passes by, I see myself and I see my frame, and I was real cut in the Marine Corps, and I see myself now and I say, wow, that's a big change. Wow, that was me. But our eternal body is going to be so much better because it's not going to go away. It's not going to spoil. It's not going to rot away. It's going to be eternity forever. So when the clock keeps ticking for Christians, that's a good thing. But for the ungodly, that's a bad thing. Because it means they got less and less and less and less and less time to actually accept Christ as their personal Savior. That means that the clock is ticking on everybody. And one day, God is going to say, heart, stop. And whatever you've done with your life, it better have counted for something. No matter how many basketball goals you shoot, or how many balls you dunk, or how many passes you caught, how much money have you got in the bank, how much money you made, don't worry about that because the family's going to fight through that, right? When God say it's time and heart, stop, you got to give it up. And you have no control over that. Neither do I. So I know I better do what I can and seek God first. At my job, tell people about God. In the workplace or in the restaurants, I can sound the alarm, so to speak, and give somebody a track. I can go door to door or I can do whatever. But I got to seek God. And I got to make sure my family is right with God. Because I'm going to be held accountable for that. So if God's calling you, it is time. Don't procrastinate like I did. It is time. If God's calling you, it's time. Now is the time. Just like when the clock ticketh and some of you college students got to go back and wake up to the alarm clock, it's time, right? You're like, man, I'm dragging, right? I don't want to go back to work. It's time. It's time to go to work for God. Turn to Matthew 6. And we're going to be in verse 33. Verse 33 says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So here's your answer right here. What is the time for? To seek ye first the kingdom of God. Maybe this year you decided to maybe sell your house and get it to a bigger house or smaller house. Maybe this year when you know, when 2020 comes, you decide to maybe propose that special someone. Or maybe this year coming up, you decide, you know what, I need to put back stuff in my retirement plan. But don't forget about your eternal retirement plan, right? That's something that you don't want to forget about. You seek God first. You seek him first no matter what. When you seek God first, God will bless you in certain ways that you have no idea he can bless you in. When I was struggling to find work, when I was struggling to find out what I wanted to do in life after the military, I had to seek God help. I had to seek his help. He placed me at Southwest Baptist, not by accident, but on purpose. Because he knew that, hey, I know, remember, he knows all, right? He knows the beginning and the end, right? He knows everything. So when he puts you somewhere, because I remember when I lost my job at one time years ago, and I lost my job, I was like, God, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I have mouths to feed, seek him first. God, I want to marry this young girl, seek him first. But God, I want to move out of Midland, Texas. It sucks here. Seek him first. He might not want you to move, right? Embrace the suck, as Mike Coleman would tell me. Embrace it. But again, you have to figure out what your calling is in life and seek God. And he will tell you what your calling is. Seek him, he will tell you. He will give you, he is your map quest, so to speak, right? He will guide you. Now, what's all that for? How long shall this be done? Until the blessing of righteousness be obtained, until he come. You serve God until he comes back again. You'll be on watch until he comes back again. They say he's coming like a thief in the night, right? If some of you know that a thief was coming to your house, what would you do? You have the gun ready, just walking around, right? I just can't wait till they come. I can't wait till they come. Jesus is coming like a thief in the night. You serve him until he comes. That's how long you seek him. You don't stop seeking him. You know, when you work a job, your shift may end at 5 o'clock. Your shift may end at 10 o'clock or at noon or midnight or whatever the case may be. And then you go home, you clock out. You never, ever clock out with God. You never. You seek him until he comes. You don't take off and say, oh, you know what, I'm going to take my 6 months off from church. You know, church is just church now. It's boring. Why should I be here? It's cold. I want to stay at home. Seek God every day of your life while the blood is still running warm in your veins. You seek him, and you seek him till he comes again. If he doesn't come again yet, tomorrow, or 2020, you seek him. Whether it's 2025 or 2030, whenever he comes, that's when you're able to stop. That's when your relief comes right there. But you're going to serve him in heaven anyway, so you never stop. Never stop praying for your family until it is plenteous and receive rain righteousness, until your soul is saturated. Your soul can never be too saturated with Christ. Your soul is saturated with the world. Some people seek the world first and Christ is second. Some people say, hey, well, you know what? I'll go to church if I got nothing else to do. I mean, hey, you know, it's the holidays. I may have something to do. How about seeking him because he is the reason for the season? Praise God. Praise be unto the Almost High as God. What else can you do? What else can you do, right? Turn to John 6:68. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. What else can you do with that eternal life? Share it. Share it to someone. Share it with someone because they don't have it. Share it with someone you know that don't have eternal life. We'll share memes on Facebook before we share the gospel. We'll forward a text that's funny before we share the gospel. We're forward information about our birthday party before we share the gospel. And that's a shame. You call yourself a Christian, but you won't even share the gospel. And I would call that a disgrace. And if God is looking down on you, he's saying, wow, I cannot believe that. That's like a son denying his parents. And that's like a father denying his child. You have something that no one else has or that very few have in Midland, Texas, but yet you don't want to share it. But I see all the time people share what they want to sell on the Eddy County Trade Center. They'll share what they want to sell on Let It Go. They'll share all that, but when it comes to Christ, crickets is what you hear because they don't want to share anything. Don't be ashamed of God, because the clock is ticking. One day he's going to be ashamed of you. Is not God a sovereign God? May he not give when he pleases? He does. Even now, some rain grace falls on you. Be thankful. We live in an unthankful nation today. We don't seek God, we seek self. In an unthankful nation today, kids, I was reading a story about a kid. His parents got him a BMW, but he wanted a Jaguar. So he pushed the BMW in the river. True story. Look it up. Very, very unthankful. He wanted a Jaguar, and his sorry parents bought him a BMW, right? Because they sorry parents, and he pushed it in the river. Ungrateful nation that we live in. We're ungrateful to realize that God is giving us our every breath, and yet we're still unthankful. He gave you that job that you have that you probably hate, but he gave it to you. Maybe for you to be a witness to somebody else with that Holy Ghost spirit that you supposedly have, maybe it'll rub off of somebody if you share it with them. Maybe if you say, hey, come to church with me on Sunday. Oh, you go to church? Yes, I do. Well, geez, you don't act like it. Again, share the gospel. It's time to seek God. It's time to get on your face and seek the Most High because he deserves it. So many times we are praise athletes and football players and wrestlers and all that and boxers. We praise them. We'll spend $200 on a ticket to go see somebody play in a band. But you won't give $20 into the collection plate. Shame. He will come and he will not tarry. In Hebrews 10:37, it says that for a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. He will not be late. He will come quickly. So while the clock is ticking, while your mind is still working, while your heart is still beating, seek God. Because he will come, and he's not going to tarry long. And you best believe that. We all wait for a time to do something. Maybe there's a birthday coming up, and you say, you know what, it's time I got to get somebody a gift. Or maybe your anniversary's coming up soon. Man, it's almost time to get this gift for my wife. Or whatever the time may be is coming up. You say, you know what, it's time to go out and go shop for this gift. Or it's time to go to the after Christmas sale. Or now it's time for Valentine's. So that they're already putting out. They're planning ahead. But guess what? They're not guaranteed tomorrow. It is time to seek God now. Maybe you are a child of God. But maybe you hadn't saw them early in the morning like you should. Maybe you didn't seek his face in the afternoon like you should. Maybe you don't seek him every day on a daily basis like you should. Now is the time. So what will come of all this? You say, okay, I seek God. I do all this, but what should come of that? He will come. This is implied in the expression, till he come. God's coming in grace is all you need. When you're in the need of something, or death is in your family, and you call God to give you the grace to get through it, he will show up. He will come. But you got to seek him. When you're going through trials in life, you seek him. He will come. And he will save you. And he will save your spirit, your soul. But also, while you're here and life is beating you down, you still serve him like Job did. Yet he slay me, I will serve him. Still serving. Don't give up. Stay in the fight. He will come in abundance of grace, meaning you're sowing. If you sow good seed, you should reap good seed. If somebody saves $100 every week of their paycheck for 50 years or 40 years, they're going to have money in the bank left over somehow, some way. Because you sowed a good seed, you saved. But for those guys who lose their job or maybe lose a career and didn't save, what happens? They lose everything. If you don't sow a good seed, you're going to lose your life sooner or later if you don't sow a good seed. It's never too late to accept Christ as your personal Savior. It's never too late until the clock stops. Right now the clock is ticking. You still have time. Serve him and seek him. If thou wilt find him, he is Christ. Believe and thou hast found him and righteousness in him. If you sow a good seed, you're going to reap. Romans 3:22. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all of them that believe, for there is no difference. The righteousness of Jesus Christ, faith in Jesus Christ, faith. You got to have faith in Jesus Christ. You got to have faith that when you seek him, when you get on your face, you got to have faith that he's going to do what he said that he's going to do. He's going to answer your prayer. You got to have faith. Without faith, there's nothing. You got to have faith. While Christ calls, it is not too late to come while he's still calling. When he called me again, I was like, no, he can't. There's no way. I've done too much wrong in my life, but that's the beauty of it. He'll forgive you for it. That's the beauty of it. When you say, hey, I can't come to Christ because I'm not good enough. That's what the devil wants you to think, that you're not good enough, right? The devil wants you not to come to him. So the devil will bring up all the things you've done in the past for you not to accept Christ and for you not to seek him. But you got to get yourself to this altar and pray and seek God and ask him to forgive you and ask him to restore you or to come into your life as your personal Lord and Savior. Because it is time. There will come a time to where my sons were about to bury me. I had to bury my mom. My father lost at age of 14. You know, coming back from war, some people change. Coming back from Iraq, some people, you know, change. And Christians, I speak to you today as God speaks through me, and I'm just a vessel. It is time for you to stop playing games and serve God. Because one day, your family is going to have to bury you. One day, you're going to be sitting up here or wherever you get buried at. One day, it's going to be your funeral service. One day, God is going to say, hard stop, it's time. And when he says it's time, you cannot escape that. So I challenge you today to come to the altar and stop playing church if you are. There's only a few people here, but it's okay. God still showed up, and he's still here. Serve God while you can, because one day it's going to be your time. Your number's going to be pulled. Just like at the DMV, that long line at the DMV that you hate standing in, when you get your ticket, you have a number. When your number's called, it's showtime. That means you got to go and take care of business, what you came there for. Likewise, when your number's called on this earth, you got to go and you got to give account of the business that you've done here. So I close with this. It's time to seek him. Maybe you got somebody at home that's sick. Maybe you're okay, but maybe we have influence on at least 10 people in this world. So maybe pray for all those 10 people today that they may be saved. Because the clock is ticking on them as well. It don't matter what time zone they're on, the clock is still ticking. Jesus Christ lives and he will live and he always lives. You know, when Jesus told David not to move until the mulberry tree, a sign from the mulberry tree, when Jesus moved the mulberry tree, David knew it was time for him to go fight the Philistines once again. But he waited on God's command. And that's something to think about. When God commands you to do something, he says, seek his face. It is time to seek his face. So you come to the altar, and we're actually going to have an invitation, and you can come. And you may decide that today may be the day that it's time for you. And as I pray, and as Brother Matt starts to sing, please come and give your all at the altar. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you, God, for all the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. And God, I just pray, Lord, that you touch someone's heart here today. And I pray, Lord, that if you have, Lord, that they may show it just by coming forth and just praying at the altar, at the old-fashioned altar, Father. And God, I just thank you for your wonderful grace and your mercy and your love. And I just thank you, Lord, just for calling me to preach your word. I am so not worthy to preach your word, but you have me here anyway. And I just thank you and I praise you, God, Father God. I just thank you for all that you have done and that all that you will continue to do. In your precious name I pray, amen. Please come. It's time. God is calling you, please come. Do not procrastinate like some people. Because one day he's going to call your number. You best be ready. Thank you. Thank you. God has really been good today. I just want to thank you guys for giving me the opportunity to preach here. I just want to thank you. Are we having choir?
We sure are. 5 o'clock.
Choir at 5 o'clock. King's Kids? Probably not.
No.
So choir. Thanks, John. Choir's at 5 o'clock. And church service, of course, at 6:30. And I'll be talking about sounding the alarm. So Amen. If you're able to make it back, please make it back. Brother Rail, if you can just dismiss us in prayer, please, sir.